Welcome to the CLUIN webinar, Superfund Landfill Methane Potential Assessment. It's sponsored by EPA's Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation. I'm Mike Adam from EPA's Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation, and I will moderate today's seminar. Before I introduce our speakers for today, there are a few logistics that I need to go over, and you can find this information also on slide 2 of the presentation. If you are using a phone line, please mute your phone, but do not put us on hold. If you do have a mute button, you can use star 6 to mute. During Q&A sessions, those of you on the phone can take your phone off mute to comment and ask questions. At that time, you may hit pound 6 to unmute, and I'll remind you when we get to the Q&A sessions. Participants can type in questions using the question mark icon at the top of the HTML presentation. We will be holding a Q&A session at the end of today's presentation. However, you do not need to wait until the Q&A session to submit questions via the text form. You may also use this form to alert us of any technical problems you may be having. The presenter will alert you to which slide we are on, and you will have to manually advance each slide. If you are using the HTML online version, you can navigate the presentation with the arrow buttons at the top of the screen, as shown on slide 2. You should have already clicked the Go to Session button at the top of the seminar homepage. After the session, you can access the feedback form and the additional resources links from the sidebar buttons on the seminar homepage. We've also provided a link to these on the last slide of the presentation. We appreciate your feedback and ask that you fill out the form. If you wish to receive a printout of your attendance, you can print out the confirmation form that is displayed after you get finished filling out the feedback form. Additionally, this event will be recorded and archived on the CLUIN website. Within 1 to 2 weeks, you should be able to download it in several formats or be able to replay it online. You can also subscribe to our CLUIN podcast to receive new archived seminars as they become available. You may also subscribe to our RSS feeds by navigating to the news feeds page by going to the CLUIN homepage, clicking on the RSS news feeds button on the Staying Connected right-hand sidebar. So now I'm going to go ahead and introduce today's speakers. Today we have Steve Chang. He's an environmental engineer with EPA's Superfund program in Washington, D.C. And he's a Superfund liaison to the EPA's Office of Research and Development. His interests include greenhouse gas reduction from Superfund landfills and recovery of methane energy and groundwater vapor intrusion related issues. Steve has a degree in chemical engineering from the University of California at Berkeley, an MS in agricultural engineering from the University of Maryland, and an MS in computer science from Johns Hopkins University. Our second speaker is Brent Dillemann, and he's a project professional with SCS Engineers, and he earned his degree in environmental studies from Dort College in 2003. He provides support to the U.S. EPA Landfill Methane Outreach Program in the Western United States and also in Eastern and Central Europe for EPA's Global Methane Initiative. Brent has 8 years of experience in the solid waste industry, including managing the development of technical programs in landfill gas energy, waste to energy, and recycling. You can read more about these speakers from their bios on the seminar homepage. And one more reminder, please remember to make sure that you've muted your phone. Once again, you may use star 6 to mute your phone if it does not have a mute function, and I'll remind you how to unmute the phone when we get to the Q&A session at the end of the presentation. With that, I'll turn it over to Steve.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the webinar. I hope you can hear me well. If you don't, please speak up. I would also introduce my collaborator, Brent, in a few minutes. This is a joint production for the Superfund program and the landfill EPA Landfill Methane Outreach Program, LMOB, that we collaborate on this project. We have started this project because we want to reduce greenhouse gas emission from our Superfund site. And this is one of the initiatives that we took to try to work out a greenhouse reduction greenhouse gas reduction strategy from the Superfund landfills. Before I go any further, I first want to acknowledge the three authors to help EPA develop the tool, Clint Berkland, Kelly Fagan, and Steve Whitman from the team that Eastern Research Group headed. We want to express our appreciation. Now, moving to the next slide.
Slide five.
Five. The goal for the assessment tool, as I mentioned it, we want to help our site manager, or primarily the remedial project managers, to assess the potential cost benefit of using landfill gas for production of energy for use on site or by the surrounding community. So we developed this very quick and easy tool. It's not a detailed assessment. Landfill methane outreach program has a model, LandGEM and landfill gas cost model, that Brand will talk more in detail, which will be a next phase if you so desire that this is worth your effort to investigate any further. Next slide, six. This is a hypothetical landfill gas generation curve. For those of you who are not totally familiar with the landfill business, this has two sets of curves. One is the conventional site, and one is the arid site, meaning that the area has less moisture content. The total gas, landfill gas, is the upper curve. The methane curve usually is lower. And we want to alert you that there's no units on the vertical axis or the horizontal axis because this is a hypothetical generic curve. What's important is that we need to say that the gas generation drops off after the landfill stops accepting waste. The content of the methane is a portion of the total gas. For our purposes, we assume its methane content is typically between 40 to 60% of the total landfill gas by volume. As the landfill ages, the methane content often drops below 40%, which is true for many of the older Superfund landfills on our national priorities list. We will emphasize that a little bit later because that has some important implications. The next slide is assessment tool, which we have organized into four steps, simple steps based on practical field experience using a lot of average estimates. Maybe you can call it rules of thumb based on field experience. The first step is to estimate the landfill gas supply, which we will go into in the next few slides. Second step is to assess the adequacy of the gas supply. Third is to evaluate the project costs. The fourth step is to evaluate options to improve the project cost benefit. Next slide. The generation of gas potential is a function of the number of years a landfill accepted waste, which will use the Fresno Sanitary Landfill Superfund site as a case study to illustrate the point. The age of the waste and the climate conditions such as the moisture content. Superfund, again, we make the assumption as on average, we assume that there's a 60% gas collection efficiency and its methane content in general is 40% by volume. Next slide.
Slide nine.
Nine is the correlation between waste acceptance rate and total gas flow. We'll keep that in mind when we come back to it. The important thing is to remember, in this case, using Fresno landfill, we're using the green dotted curve to get our number, the total gas flow on the vertical axis, based on the number of tons of waste in place. So what are the assumptions? We assume, again, first, that the methane content is 40% by volume. Of course, you can standardize it if you have less than 40% to change the assumption from 35%, say, to 40%. We suggest, just as a rule of thumb, if you have landfill gas in landfills level less than 1 million tons of municipal waste, perhaps maybe it's not worth your while to go through.
We're now on slide 10.
Slide 10. Of course, based on the generic curve that I showed in the first place, the more recent the site has been closed, the more gas will be produced. And if two landfills have equivalent amounts of waste in place and similar closure years, the one with a shorter operating period will have higher gas generating rates. And I assume in the next slide, 11, we assume the flow rate for landfill gas decreases about 4% annually after the landfill closure. This is on average on a national basis. And we typically size the project to 60% of the initial flow rate. Otherwise, there'll be overcapacity for the methane microturbine to operate. Again, collection efficiency is assuming to be 60% because many Superfund sites, older ones especially, could be unlined and not fully capped with soil, and you may have to even reduce the collection efficiency. Next slide. This is the first step of the four-step process. We know that the Fresno landfill has accepted 8 million cubic yards of waste over the years. So you don't have to, in this case, estimate the cubic yards by sizing up the volume of the landfill. But otherwise, you might have to go through that, but that's a rough estimate. We assume that 80% of the waste is municipal waste, and the rest is probably construction debris or generating waste not generating gas. So we converted that to 6.4 million cubic yards, and assume that the conversion factor of 0.6 tons per cubic yard, we come up with a 3.8 million tons of municipal waste. So if you were to go back to the first graph, the straight line curve, looking at the horizontal axis at 3.8 million tons, and using the green curve,
slide 9,
to the left to look up the value on the vertical axis, you will come up with roughly total gas flow of about 260 standard cubic feet per minute. That's on slide number 13. And we know the history of Fresno Sanitary Landfill fairly well because the city of Fresno supplied us with the information. The number of years the landfill accepted waste was 51, and the landfill was closed for 24 years. This is why we use the green curve, because the green curve shows a landfill operating for more than 40 years and 25 years after closure. So that's completed first step, except that we have to convert it down the line for 10 years at 260 standard cubic feet per minute. We assume that 10 years down the line, it will be 60%. So it'd be 156 standard cubic feet per minute. As you recall, the generic curve, the gas generation rate decreases as the year goes by. So keep that 156 SCFM in mind. We'll come back to that in a minute. How do you assess the gas quality? That's step number two. Panel trick, just about. We're not going to mention any name, but many gas analyzer will do the job just fine. It will be ideal if you're
gas flow rates closely matching the end use demands, which I understand is not always the case. But one thing you have to remember again is the project can operate, microturbines can operate using gas with as little as 35% methane. But we heard through the grapevine that some breakthrough has taken place. Maybe the number has been dropping steadily too. Step two, slide number 15. Based on that and the cutoff point of 400 standard cubic feet per minute, based on our survey of industry, this landfill is not viable for commercial sale. This is, again, a general rule of thumb. You might have better tax credit and other financial incentives to make it work for you on your case. Next slide. Step two, continue. We also know the peak electricity demand at the Fresno landfill to be 100,800 kilowatts, and you convert it to kilowatt, that'd be 135 kilowatts, bearing in mind a 31 days and 24 hours day. So what does that mean? We'll get to that in a minute. The landfill gas curve on slide number 18 is called a correlation between landfill gas flow and energy potential. If you were to use 156 SCFM and you look up on the solid curve, assuming that's 40% methane content by volume, you turn to the left on the vertical axis, that's where you get 290 kilowatt output. And also keep that in mind. That's back to line number 16, electricity that can be produced for on-site use, line A.3. That's where the number 290 SCFM comes from. Now, I'm moving on to slide number 17, evaluating project costs. Electricity generation requires technology equipment to compress and dehydrate the landfill gas. This is a lot to go over. We're not going to go into that, but just so that you know that there's some preparation that needs to be done. For utilizing landfill gas for on-site electricity generation, the rule of thumb again is the cost of the production must be less than the price paid for electricity. It's common sense. Otherwise, why would anybody want to do a project? And for landfills planning to sell electricity off-site, say to a power grid from the utility company, the buyback rate must be higher than the production cost. Again, that makes common sense. And I've gone through slide number 18. That's the curve. To get 100, to have 156 SCFM, you get, look up the curve to the left, the solid curve, and go to the vertical axis, you get 290 kilowatts. And then now I'm going to, jumping a little bit to slide 19, step three, evaluate the project cost. And that comes from reading the graph in slide 21. If you read this, you notice that at 290 kilowatt on the horizontal axis, and you look to the lower curve, you get roughly about 12.5 cents per kilowatt hour. That is the break-even rate that we show back on slide number 19. break-even rate of 12.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Now, this is a very quick and crude assessment and based on very conservative assumptions that Brandon is going to talk a little more in detail about the LMOP models that might show a possibility of making this project a goal. But based on our assessment of using the tool, the project may not be cost effective. That's the conclusion. Back to the next slide. We're not going to go into the direct use or non-commercial use because
Hi.
We do it for on-site electricity generation. But for slide number 21, that's the curve that we've got the buyback rate, a break-even rate.
Oh,
and the
okay.
next one, slide number 22, you can think about some of the on-site utilization prospects. Like for Superfund projects, there may be chances for a small pump and treat operation to power the pump and treat operation, as an example. Or you can use it for space heating or use in a heater or boiler. That's possible. And the next slide is 23. The cost, I just show you a quick cost estimate we use. So, for example, you have 100 standard cubic feet per minute of methane at 40% by volume, and you have to build a pipeline for 1.5 miles. The cost for producing the landfill gas will be $16.85 per million BTU. It's just a hypothetical situation. Okay, we're coming to the end for my portion. Slide number 24, what are the options? What are the cost benefits if you want to improve it? Well, size is one thing you can increase to help defray the expenses. You can help use the waste heat from the engine, the turbine, for thermal needs, recycle the heat. Or you can apply for grants, block grants or tax credits or carbon credits or other incentive programs. This is where I would defer you to look at the website that LMOP provides. They have maintained a funding guide summarizing incentive programs. And please take a minute to look at their website. As far as recommendations for further analysis, the last 25th, slide 25, I just want to say there are a number of options. I don't want to go into this. You can read it. But the measures are not expected to yield significant results. That's what I want to convey. And with that, I will turn over the presentation to Brent.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Stephen. Like Mike said at the beginning of the session, I'm Brent Dieleman. I work for a company called SCS Engineers, and we are contractors to U.S. EPA's landfill methane outreach program. And I think probably some of you are familiar with LMOP, but I'll go into a little more detail about what the program is and what kind of assistance that we provide. Stephen did a really good job of presenting the methane assessment tool that their office developed. I'm going to talk a little bit about LMOP's assessment tools as well. And kind of walk through you, LMOP has done an assessment on an evaluation of the Fresno Sanitary Landfill, and I'm going to walk you through the steps that we did in our analysis that yielded different results compared to what the conclusion from the methane assessment tool was. And I think it's just important, I think it just illustrates that it's important to look at when evaluating a landfill for landfill gas to energy potential, it's important to evaluate it using various types of models using from various sources, from various entities, because modeling is a very subjective way of analyzing landfill gas to energy. So I think it's important that you run one model and it may not show positive results, and you don't just want to, rule out that site as the potential for a project. I think it requires a lot of due diligence and requires looking at the site in a number of different ways. So that's, I think, an important message that we want to get across from this webinar here. So, like I said, I'm a contractor to US EPA's Landfill Methane Outreach Program, and I'm on slide 26 right now. And just real briefly, who LMOP is. LMOP is a voluntary assistance program that helps reduce methane emissions from landfills by encouraging the recovery and beneficial use of landfill gas as an energy resource. And really the way LMOP does this is we rely on our partnership program. LMOP forms partnerships with local governments, with state governments, with project developers, with landfill gas to energy project financers, really any entity interested in landfill gas to energy. LMOP serves as a resource and works with these groups and companies and entities to evaluate landfill gas to energy. And we do that through assessing project feasibility. We oftentimes help locate project financing options. Stephen mentioned LMOP's funding guide, which has been a fairly popular resource that's entirely online, and you can search for financial incentive programs, grant programs, any number of incentives out there to apply to landfill gas to energy. And because LMOP is an outreach program, we do a lot of the marketing, just marketing the benefits of landfill gas to energy to communities. Because in order for these projects to come online, it's just really important that you have the community's input, that you have the community's support. And in many cases, landfill, Superfund landfills, other smaller landfills, that's critical, because these are often sites that large project developers are not going to touch. They don't see a lot of potential there. But if you have a community who is really energized and excited about making a landfill, converting it into a resource instead of a liability, these projects can move forward, and there's numerous examples of those. So that's, in a nutshell, what LMOP does. We're part of EPA. I should mention that all of LMOP's assistance is completely free of charge, so they don't send you a bill for any of the assistance or evaluation that they do. And also LMOP, even though it's part of EPA, it's a voluntary program, so LMOP doesn't have any regulatory authority. Okay. That's, in a nutshell, LMOP. The next slide, slide 27, I'm going to breeze through this. I think a lot of you are familiar with it, just a little landfill gas 101. I think you all know landfill gas is generated during the natural process of biological decomposition of organic material in a municipal solid waste landfill. Stephen mentioned there's a number of factors that influence landfill gas generation, such as the type and age of the waste in the landfill, the organic content of that waste, the climate conditions of the landfill have a huge impact on landfill gas generation. General rule of thumb, we're talking a lot of general rules of thumb here. Landfill gas is typically about 50% methane, 50% carbon dioxide, and then trace amounts of other non-methane organic compounds. There's a lot of factors that influence landfill gas generation, but as another general rule of thumb, LMOP has done some analysis and typically for every 1 million tons of solid waste MSW in place at a landfill, about 0.8 megawatts of electricity could be generated, or about 432,000 cubic feet of landfill gas could be supplied for a direct use project. And it's also just important to note that landfill gas is a very transient energy source. Its generation is a function of time and is going to change over time. And so that gets to the point that Stephen was talking about earlier, where typically when you're looking at Superfund landfills, sizing a project to about 60% of what the gas flow is, because if the site is old and closed, that gas generation is be going down, and you don't want to build a project and have all that, invest all that capital, and then have overcapacity that you're not going to be able to utilize. So that was a really good point that he mentioned earlier. And then, of course, if uncontrolled landfill gas can contribute to environmental problems, health problems, safety concerns, and the like. The next slide 28, why EPA is concerned about landfill gas. I think, again, most of you are familiar with this. It's a greenhouse gas. It's considered over 20 times more potent of a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. Landfills are a fairly large source of anthropogenic methane emissions. They're considered the third largest source behind enteric fermentation and natural gas production. And because of even though methane has a fairly short atmospheric lifetime, just because of increased industrial activities, the amount of methane in the atmosphere has increased quite, or has in the past, it's increased quite a bit. And then because landfill gas, the methane component of landfill gas is essentially natural gas, not using that gas for beneficial use represents a lost opportunity for energy production or energy generation. Okay, moving on to the next slide. Now, the next few slides that actually led us to the wrapping up of the formal presentation here is going to talk a little bit about LMOP's analysis of the Fresno sanitary land gem. And Stephen mentioned earlier that LMOP uses LandGem. LandGem is an automated tool for estimating emission rates, landfill gas emission rates, from municipal solid waste landfill. LandGem was developed by EPA's Office of Research and Development. There actually is a version of LandGem that is available publicly on LMOP's website. So if you're not familiar with LandGem and you're curious as to how it works, That is available through LMOP's website, and there's a pretty comprehensive user guide that will walk you through the different steps to estimate landfill gas generation or various other emissions from a particular landfill site. Now, the version of LandGem that LMOP used for analyzing the Fresno sanitary landfill is not available publicly. It's a little more tailored of a LandGem. It allows more flexibility to change the specific default input parameters. So if you're curious, or if you have a landfill that you're curious what kind of landfill gas generation potential exists, you can certainly use the public version of LandGem, but if you want to tailor it a little bit more, you can always contact LMOP, and we can do a little more comprehensive of an analysis of the site, if you're interested. And much like Stephen's methane assessment tool, LandGem is a screening tool. The results of LandGem are only as good as the input data that you have. So the more tailored information you have, the better the results, the better the estimates are going to be. So that's an introduction to LandGem. Now, Slide 29 has a table. These are the input parameters that LMOP used on the Fresno Sanitary Landfill to develop our gas generation curve. These are required inputs. You're not going to be able to estimate landfill gas generation without this basic information on your landfill site, such as the landfill opening year. And just a quick caveat on that, for one of the limitations of LandGem is estimating landfill gas generation over the limit is 75 years. The landfill actually opened in 1937, so for ease in estimating the gas generation for Fresno, we just bumped that opening year up to 1950, and that's what's represented on the slide. And that's a reasonable adjustment to make, because waste disposed of at this site in the 30s, 40s, even the 50s is not going to be generating any gas at this point to really take into consideration here. Landfill closure year, 1987. The annual waste acceptance rate the year it closed in 87 was just over 430,000 tons. Estimated waste in place, about 4.8 million tons. And this parallels the information that Stephen presented in his methane assessment tool. We're also including at this point all of the inert waste, the construction waste, that type of waste material. So that's why this 4.8 is higher than that 3.8 figure that Stephen used in his methane assessment tool. But we'll account for that here in the coming slides to adjust for that. And I should mention the Fresno site, this information was provided by the Fresno Sanitary Landfill, but with the acknowledgement that there are no concrete records as to annual waste disposal and really the amount of waste ultimately disposed of at the site. But these are estimates based on the best estimates that Fresno was able to come up with here. And then certainly moisture content is a pretty significant impact for gas generation, and you can see the annual rainfall being just under 11 inches per year. So model input parameters. Slide 30 also covers what we included here, what we included in LandGem to estimate landfill gas generation. The 83% estimated landfill gas collection efficiency. Let me just describe for a moment how that collection efficiency was estimated. We know through our LandGem model, running LandGem on Fresno, we are able to determine or get an estimate of what landfill gas generation is at this site. Now, the Fresno site already has a gas control and collection system installed, and so they have gas flow readings that were provided to us. And based on the amount of gas that they are flaring in comparison to what LandGem estimates to be their total generation, the delta between those two figures, it ends up being they're flaring about 83% of the gas that LandGem predicts is being produced. So that's where this 83% comes from. Typically, when LMOP estimates landfill gas collection efficiency, I mean, depending on the site, if it's a site that doesn't have a gas collection system in place, we'll estimate it at about 75% collection efficiency. If they have a gas collection system in place, we typically estimate it about 85%. So this actually parallels that assumption quite nicely. And then a couple of important parameters that are LandGem is the K value, or the methane generation rate constant. And that value is used to determine the amount of landfill gas generated depending on the surrounding climate conditions in the area. And on the last slide, you saw that the site gets just under 11 inches of rain per year. That's a pretty dry site. So we're using a pretty conservative, pretty small K value in this model here. And these, and with LandGem and with LMOP's use of LandGem, we only use a handful of different K values to represent various amounts of precipitation, the 0.02 being the smallest amount. For under 20 inches of rain per year, if a site receives, that's typically the K value we use. And then if it receives more rain, those K values go up because methane generation is going to go up as well. The L sub naught value is what we call the methane generation potential, and that's a parameter that's determined based on the type of waste that's disposed of in the landfill. So that 3,204 cubic feet per ton of methane, and that's actually from EPA's AP 42, is used to represent municipal solid waste landfills, which assume 80% of the waste being municipal solid waste, 20% being inert C&D waste. And so that's actually how we compensated for using that total waste disposal amount of 4.8 million tons, is because we account for that in this L sub naught value. Hope that makes sense, and I'm happy to answer any questions if folks have that on that. And then, of course, if we actually have more site-specific data, we can adjust that L sub naught value to represent the specific landfill conditions. And I should just caveat, I mean, the Fresno landfill, it's a Superfund landfill. Assuming an 80% MSW, 20% C&D waste, that may be acceptable. It may not be. We just don't exactly know what was all disposed of in that site over the years. But for our purposes here, that's what we assumed. And if somebody else can document a different waste composition, that L sub naught could easily be modified, and a more hopefully accurate model could be produced. Okay, moving on to slide 31, and this actually has LMOP's gas recovery, generation and recovery curve. One of the outputs of LandGem is a graph that looks similar to what you see on your screen, is predicting landfill gas generation. LandGem will, in our case, we're using LandGem to estimate landfill gas generation. And then, like I said, and that's represented by that upper lighter cover curve. And so you can see landfill gas generation actually peaked at the site back in 87, 88, right when the landfill closed. And since that time, landfill gas generation has been decreasing at a fairly rapid rate. Now, the lower curve represents our collection efficiency, and I explained how we calculated that 83% landfill gas collection efficiency at 83%, and that's where we're at. And so you can see at 83% collection efficiency, we got it just under 600 SCFM of landfill gas being recovered through their flare. And I also should just caveat this by saying this has all been standardized to 50% methane. The Fresno site in particular has a gas quality of only about 35% methane based on the information that was provided to us. So they're getting much higher flows, but the methane concentration is much, much less. So once you standardize that, you get to just under 600 SCFM. You can see in the coming years that's going to be decreasing on the decline. And then the bullet is the actual gas reading that was provided by Fresno for last year. Moving on, that's LandGem. Moving on, the next few slides here to wrap up, summarize LMOP's cost analysis of a potential electricity generating project at the Fresno Sanitary Landfill. This is a screenshot of the LFG cost tool. This is a tool that's it's essentially a preliminary financial pro forma that allows you to evaluate the costs and economics of different types of projects. So you can see, I know it's hard to see on the slide, but you can actually run different types of projects here. You can run, you know, electricity generation using a microturbine, using a gas turbine, using direct use, leachate evaporation. You can run all different types of project scenarios here and use the results as more or less a comparison to see what type of a project could make the most sense at your particular landfill. And these are in the outputs of this tool are not numbers that you can take to the bank. You couldn't go to the bank and get a loan to actually implement a project on these, but again, it's just helpful ballpark estimates that help you kind of size up a project and see what type of a project may make the most sense for your particular landfill. LFG cost, there's a version of LFG cost online. It's called LFG cost web. It's available to LMOP partners. So LMOP has a partner only section of their website, and if you signed up as an LMOP partner, which of course is free to do, that would give you access to a web-based version of this tool that you can actually size up your own project on your own. Again, much like LandGem, it's somewhat limited in that there's only certain parameters or certain default assumptions that you can change. If you want a more detailed analysis, LMOP is always happy to do a much more comprehensive and much more specific analysis on your site using LFG cost. Okay, now the last couple slides of my presentation actually go into now the results of LMOP's LFG cost model. And actually this first slide just summarizes some of the assumptions that we use. There's certainly required inputs to LFG cost, and then there's optional inputs that if you don't change them, they're just standard defaults that again are good general rules of thumb for analyzing a site. So for Fresno, we looked at using microturbine technology, as we talked about all afternoon. It's an old landfill. It's been closed. Gas production is on the decline. So doing electricity generation certainly is there's potential there, but using microturbine technology seems to make the most sense just because those are better for smaller electricity type projects. And LFG cost estimates that approximately, based on the gas flows in 2010, approximately 1 megawatt of power could be generated from that site. And so, you know, if you, and like Stephen said, you're not gonna necessarily want to stall enough microturbines to generate 1 megawatt. Just because that's going to be on the decline. But, you know, you could probably put in a couple microturbines, 2 or 3 microturbines at this site and generate electricity for, a good number of years here. Methane content, like I said, at Fresno is 35%. We use a landfill gas collection efficiency of 83%. Microturbines projects are typically smaller sites. Smaller type projects, so we estimate a full project life of about 10 years. Our model assumed that that the project owner pays for it up front. They don't take out a loan for it. They finance it. They finance it through their button for through their budget. Excuse me. So we make some assumptions in that they're not going to be paying interest on a loan, and that certainly saves the project a bit of money. Discount rate of about 6%. You know, for a municipality developing this project, that would make sense. If you're a private developer wanting to invest in a project like that, you're probably going to want a higher discount rate, which is I think most of you know is essentially the time value of money. You want to know that you're investing in a project that actually is going to have an increase in your return on investment. Just with inflation, you're going to want that. You're going to want that a little. You're going to want to see that investment grow. And then a big assumption for this project is what the utility would pay for the electricity. And this is California. California electricity rates are typically higher than in most other parts of the country, especially on the mainland here. And so we assumed an electricity price of about 6 cents per kilowatt hour. So, and this is just a handful of the assumptions. I mean, there's a couple different pages of assumptions that you have to go through and decide what you're going to set them at. But these are some of the more critical ones. And then once you plug that all into your tool, into the LFG cost tool, you get the results. And that's what you see on slide 34. And this actually has LMOP's LFG cost results for the Fresno Sanitary Landfill. It's a microturbine technology. We have the net present value of the project at just over $1 million, and that's, you know, the first year monetary value. That's the equivalent to the various cash flows based on your discount rate. Your internal rate of return at 20%. You want that positive, obviously, and that's your return on investment from the total revenue generated from the project and all of the grants or incentives that you got, minus what you're putting as the down payment, which in this case you're putting 100% as a down payment. So that's pretty good. The net present payback value would be 6 years. So it takes a few years for it to pay for itself, but it does. And if your site and if the project runs for 10 years, you know, you'd come out ahead. And then a summary of the capital costs and operation and maintenance costs are also highlighted on this slide. And you can see the little star by capital costs just highlights that these do not include the cost for installing a gas control and collection system, because it's assumed the site already has a comprehensive system in place. That's a pretty big expenditure that would occur, and so that certainly has favorable economics, provides for more favorable economics for this particular site. And again, I don't read too much into these specific numbers. Again, these are estimates using LandGen's LFG cost tool. They're a good ballpark. They're a good estimate to start with. You're looking at this, and you see that it LMOP's estimate does show a positive rate of return. Certainly, yeah, you're not going to want to go get a loan from the bank and invest in a project or front all the money up front and implement this project right away. You're going to want to do much more analysis of the site, because there may be, you know, additional site-specific factors that will have an impact on gas generation or the economics of this particular type of project. So, but yeah, that in a nutshell covers LMOP's assessment of the Fresno site, what how much gas is being generated, and what the economics would be of implementing a particular project here. So, with that wraps up LMOP's assessment of Fresno. And I will turn it back over.
I think it's time for questions. If you're on the phone lines and you have a question, you can pound 6 to unmute your phone or the mute button, however you've muted, and go ahead and ask a question. We can go ahead and start with a few of these questions that have come in from the text. I'll just go ahead and start. How can we measure the moisture content in a specific landfill? Not sure if you covered that, but that might be a metric that you used in your calculation.
Yeah, this is Brent. There are instruments out there that help you measure the moisture content of the landfill that you can actually get specific readings. For our modeling purposes here, for Stephen's tool, for the LMOP assessment, I mean, it's a very crude, it's moisture content is very crude, and we're just basing it off of average annual precipitation and then setting our model parameters based on, you know, an arid site, a typical conventional landfill, or a very wet landfill or bioreactor type landfill. So, that hope that answers your question. And actually, LMOP has a I mentioned LMOP's partnership list, and a lot of LMOP partners are manufacturers of these types of analyzers and this type of equipment. And you can actually go online. It's epa.gov/LMOP, and you just click on partners, and that actually will take you to that list, and you can see what some of the companies are that provide that equipment, and then you could go to their websites and look at what's available.
Okay, well, what about the determining the localized parameters of the two that you mentioned, the K value and the L sub naught, and for the Langevin model?
Is the best method to determine the localized parameters?
Those two parameters that you mentioned.
Yeah. I think from my experience is you need to have a landfill gas professional who is experienced in modeling landfill gas generation, and those two parameters have a pretty substantial impact on landfill gas estimating landfill gas generation. And so determining the specifics of those sites, or determining the specifics of those parameters for particular sites, does require a lot of careful attention. It would certainly require site visits to the landfill as well. It's helpful if you have accurate records of what types of waste came into your site, what materials, the composition, and all of that. I mean, with an experienced landfill gas professional, all of that can be the proper model parameters can be determined and settled on. I guess keep in mind that you can do all of your due diligence, and you can spend a lot of time making sure all of your model inputs are the best representation for your site as you possibly can. But I mean, we're modeling here, so it is theoretical, and so you can do all of that due diligence. You can invest all that time to make sure you have the model inputs is accurate as possible, and that's good. But it doesn't mean that what that model predicts you're actually going to see in the field.
Okay. Now
we skip the second question, do we?
Yeah. I have there's another question here regarding I think you talked a little bit about preconditioning of the gas, and this question is regarding, you know, what effect that might have on the constituents might have on the turbine. So they'd heard that constituents of the landfill gas in the past may have caused destructive deposits in turbines when burned. Has that problem been resolved?
Yeah. I know there's ongoing research on this. I know the I am not the expert on landfill gas contaminants and the impacts and deposits that they have on electric generating equipment. I could certainly put you in touch with people who are much more familiar with that if you shoot me an email. But I do know, and particularly what I know about the siloxanes, which have historically have not been a problem in landfill gas, but now just because they're, I mean, more and more products contain them, shampoos, conditioners, cosmetics, all of that stuff. It does require additional cleaning of that gas on the front end to prevent that from going into the engine and creating those deposits. It's expensive, and it's something to take into consideration when looking at particular project types. And I should just mention, like, the analysis that LMOP did, it assumes basic landfill gas cleaning. It assumes you're removing the moisture. There's some level of gas compression required, but some of those more special treatment processes, such as removal of siloxane, the costs of that are not factored into our numbers and our analysis here. I don't know that that answers your question, but I'd be happy to put you in touch with others who probably have more experience and more knowledge of the impact and where the latest research is on that. I know the folks at the Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts in California, Southern California, have been doing quite a bit in that realm. So,
are there any questions from those of people that might be participating over the phone lines? Again, you can unmute your phone. You can hit #6 to unmute if you use *6 to mute.
The EPA. I'm not sure what that is.
Okay.
So I don't know if
we have a few other questions that came in that are pretty technical and I guess sort of beyond the scope. We'll try to get to those individually later if we have some experts that can get back to some folks that had some more questions about the K and the L-naught values and some of the analyzing equipment. And I'm assuming the Stephen, the methane assessment tool, is that that's available online, or in what website is that available on?
The report is entitled Superfund NPL Landfill Methane to Energy Pilot Project. Is on post on the CLUIN website under What's New. So the entire report is available for download as a PDF version. It has the assessment tool included.
And there's other resources available. We talked about resources that are available on LMOP's website, and that's epa.gov/LMOP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other questions and regarding incentives and funding, which I think you mentioned, to support a landfill gas energy project. You had a question about gas prices. With natural gas prices being so low, are landfill gas energy projects actually being developed at this time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I know with my work at LMOP, we get a lot of that comes up quite frequently. Certainly with that discovery of the shale fracking. I don't remember it exactly. What's happening? The shale fracking that has led to this incredible supply of natural gas. By some estimates, it's like over 100-year supply. I even heard one expert even compare the discovery of this material and the refining of it for natural gas to be equivalent of the internet. So it's just like a complete game-changing, when it comes to gas production here. That has had a huge impact on landfill gas, because oftentimes landfill gas is used to offset some other type of fuel. And if that other type of fuel is, for example, natural gas, and now a lot cheaper, that makes the economics of landfill gas much more difficult. I think, like, from our experience in LMOP, certainly we do see, I mean, there's still a lot of interest in landfill gas to energy. And the number of projects that's online now is just, it's a record. I think we've got about 520 online landfill gas to energy projects throughout the country. And that's an all-time high, and that number continues to grow. I would say the pace of that growth has slowed a little bit because of the natural gas prices, but projects are still being done. It just requires a more creative effort from the project developer, from the landfill owner, from the community, from all the different stakeholders to really be committed to seeing a project be developed, because I mean, the environmental impacts are substantial. It's creating what's otherwise a community liability and creating an energy resource from it. I mean, those are all very good things, and a lot of communities see there's value in that. And so projects are still coming online. I think it just requires entities to be much more creative, do a little more work on the front end to try and identify incentives and grants and funding programs that they can take advantage of and use and apply to their project. So hope that answers that person's question. So.
Okay. Are there any questions? One sort of last call here for the folks on the phone lines. Remember, you can always ask a question. The contact information for today's presenters is given on slide one. And also, if you check out the last minute housekeeping thing here, the last slide in the presentation, slide 35, there's a link to both additional resources and the feedback form. We would appreciate if you could click that link for the feedback form and provide feedback for us today for today's seminar. And if there are no further questions, I'd like to thank today's speakers and like to thank you all for participating. Have a good afternoon.